We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we continue the discussion of the question, what is wrong with witchcraft? The Bible condemns witchcraft, which was practiced in both Old and New Testament times. Paul's courageous confrontation with the evil world of sorcery must have made a lasting and very deep impression upon his mind. Perhaps he met sorcery often in his apostolic travels, spreading the good news of salvation in Christ. He had something to say relative to sorcery or witchcraft about those who practice it, as he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verses 21 through 29, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said that the evil and ugly company in which sorcery or witchcraft is placed should be enough to condemn the devilish art for any person who takes seriously Paul's admonition when he said, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." The apostle clearly and emphatically states what is wrong with witchcraft, it being the very bosom friend of other works of the flesh. He said, such as fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envious, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn before, that you who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In this interesting passage of Holy Scripture, Paul lists the evil works of witchcraft as that of work of the flesh. It is of interest to observe that the original Greek word from which we have the word witchcraft or sorcery has an unusual meaning or connotation. The Greek term is the actual source or background of our word pharmacy, as Webster Dictionary clearly indicates. Hence, there is an obvious connection with the use of drugs. It should be observed that there is a legitimate use of drugs and an illegitimate use of drugs. History bears out the fact that the illegitimate use of drugs came to be associated with heathen religious superstitious practices and the occult movement of the past, and I submit to you that it is true today. In the Galatian passage, Paul was speaking about the sordid practices of paganistic religions which abounded of his time. And I say today, are you listening? Has it ever occurred to you that there seems to be a very obvious connection between the recently great growth of deadly drugs in our land and the recently strong revival of the occult movement? They were frequently in fellowship in times of antiquity, and they are still in firm fellowship today. I think it is no accident that in the wake of the great drug problem in our society that we are now experiencing, we are also in the midst of a growing craze of the occult movement. There are two of them that have natural affinity to each other. Kenneth L. Jones, in his book, Witchcraft, Spiritualism, Astrology, and Demon Possession, states, "The world has had its dark ages of superstition, ignorance, and fear. Perhaps none darker than the witch mania which swept through Europe a few centuries ago. A merciless and unnecessary slaughter of human lives which shall forever stand as a shameful blot on human history. For 2.5 centuries, civilization went wild, and in this period of time more than 5 million people were executed, 30,000 in England alone. These people lost their lives on the testimony of so-called respectable citizens or on their own confused minds or through torture. In England, 20 witnesses testified in court that they saw an old woman walk out of the sea, a capsized boat, and drown all aboard. She was convicted and executed as a witch. In Germany, 10 witnesses swore that they saw 10 persons on the back of a devil flying over the city. They claimed to recognize 5 unfortunate souls who were then convicted and slain. These are but 2 of many incidents which exemplify the travesty of justice and reason which ruled supremely in that time. A further example of this injustice can be seen in the laws implemented by detecting witches. One such method was to throw the accused into a tank of water. If she drowned, she was pronounced innocent and given a Christian burial. If she floated, she was convicted of witchcraft and burned to ashes. In Holland, the popular method was to toss the victim into the sea. If she swam to shore, she was convicted and executed. Other methods of torture were used to induce confession, such things as racks, revolving spoons, and etc. Once an accused woman, Mrs. Balfour, had her feet placed in iron boots, which were heated red hot. She did not confess. Her husband was placed on the rack and killed. Still she did not confess. Her son was then placed between two wooden wedges. They were hammered together, and her son was crushed at her feet, but she did not confess. Finally, her little daughter was subjected to the cursed thumb screw. When the blood began to gush from her little veins, the mother confessed. Pity the poor woman accused of witchcraft. She had no chance of survival. In early America, witches were persecuted in parts of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Virginia. The terror reached its high point in the city of Salem, Massachusetts. A colonial preacher named Cotton Mather did much to arouse the people against the evil work of witches. In 1692, as a result of Mather's efforts, 19 were put to death as witches and 150 were sent to prison for the same reason. Among those put to death was Giles Corey, who was placed between two tables with stones piled on top until he was crushed to death. We Americans look back at this black spot on our history with shame and disgust. But such is always the ultimate end when fear, superstition, and ignorance rule over reason and divine revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? I submit that witchcraft, occultism, and spiritualism are regressing to that same disgraceful situation in America today. McClintock and Strong, in their Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, have described the ancient witch hunts, persecutions, and executions in their scholarly work. They said, and I quote, "Witch finders passed through the country, England, from town to town, professing to rid the community of all witches and receiving therefrom a stipulated sum of money. Their methods were most inhuman. They stripped the accused, shaved them, and thrust pins into their bodies to discover witches' marks. They wrapped them in sheets with great toes and thumbs tied together and dragged them through ponds or rivers, and if they sank, they were accounted innocent. But if they floated, which they were sure to do for a time, they were set down as guilty and executed. Many times the poor creatures were kept fasting and awake, and sometimes walking incessantly for 24 to 48 hours. Indeed, such cruelties were practiced as an inducement to confession that the unhappy victims were glad to confess and end their miseries at once." Volume 12, page 954. What a sordid history for witchcraft and sorcery, which had its beginning in human history and even continues until this time. Ladies and gentlemen, such is a work of the devil. Beloved, just what about witchcraft today? Without doubt, the worship of Satan and attempt to escape from the world of realism have greatly prompted the revival of the occult in general and the comeback of witchcraft and sorcery in particular. No wonder we have an established church of the devil in the world today. Just as astrology and reincarnation have enjoyed a comeback in our time, so it is true of witchcraft and sorcery. Sybil Leek is perhaps the best-known witch of our day. She is a leading proponent of the revival of witchcraft of our time. She claims to have 400 witches as her personal friends. She estimates that there may be as many as 8 million witches which are cooking their brew and spreading their influence throughout the world. She also says that there may be as many as 100,000 witches in the United States today. My friends, I point out to you that these are practicing witches. They are not accused witches, as were those about whom we have spoken, who were treated so maliciously and persecuted so severely in our land and within various European countries. There is a major difference between those who are innocent of witchcraft practices and those who deliberately take up, as Sybil Leek and others, the bewitched friends who go along with them as a part of the occultism. To show that the very obvious connection between witchcraft and some of the other facets of the occult movement, I quote from Oneida Troops of New Orleans, Louisiana. She says, and I quote, "Witches believe that God is in everyone, that God shares His power with all beings, and that God has given each and all of us the use of His power. Witches believe that they are reincarnated. We consider that reincarnation is proof of one's failure to have achieved godliness in the previous life. Therefore, in this life, we hope to achieve higher wisdom and spiritual enlightenment." End of quotation. Now, my friends, those who believe the Bible will recognize immediately the dangers of such false teaching. Since, according to this witch belief, God is in everyone, then why should the sinner feel that he should give up his sins, since God is as much in him as is the devil? This teaching of witchcraft destroys any incentive to live a wholesome life. If God is in the person regardless of what he is and what he does, then why should a person deny himself of any of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life? Since modern witchcraft teaches that people will come back in reincarnated forms for another chance at living a better life, then why try to live up to the demands of holiness and sobriety in this life? Is not such folly as this well calculated to make man or woman live it up in this life and to say, "I will give up my sins the next time around"? There are a number of other lives yet before me, and I will make up for it when the world is yet to come and I come back into this world reincarnated in another form. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? The teachings of modern witchcraft are exceedingly dangerous because they are conditioning man to look to something else for his supposedly future reincarnated growth into a higher wisdom and spiritual enlightenment, rather than to the Bible and to the author of salvation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not all forms of modern witchcraft are connected with the supposedly idea of God, however. We are informed by those who have made a study of modern witchcraft that there are currently existing three kinds of witchcraft practiced today. They are the white, the black, and the Gardnerian brand. As might be expected, the white supposedly obtain their powers from God. The black claim their powers come from evil spirits. Hence, there is the close connection between the practice of present-day witchcraft or sorcery and demonology. The Gardnerian brand of the witchcraft takes its name from its founder and stresses the amassing of secret knowledge as its primary goal. Every one of these facets of the movement is an attack on the Bible and the God of heaven and earth. Closely akin to witchcraft or sorcery is that of fortune-telling. This aspect of the occult movement is growing rapidly in our land today. Gypsy tea rooms are thriving in major cities of the Northeast, the Midwest, and the West Coast, and in the South. A number of county fairs throughout the country are on the occult bandwagon as far as fortune-telling is concerned. Occult shops in our country now sell crystal balls for as little as $20, and tarot cards can be purchased even more cheaply for as little as $4 to $10. After experiencing a long depression of low sales, the Ouija boards are back in business again. It is estimated that 3 million of these are sold or were sold in 1971. My friends, you may ask, what can be done about the occult problem of witchcraft and sorcery? I'll tell you, we need to teach the people the Bible. This would be the best answer I know. People who believe the Bible will not teach witchcraft. People who believe and obey God's word will not fall victim of all the nonsense that abounds within witchcraft and sorcery. If those who teach such would soon have no ears to hear them, and no money would be received from their deceitful practices, perhaps we would be amazed at how quickly they would give up this error. It only thrives where the gullible are ready to receive it and pour their hard-earned money into the overflowing coffers of the practitioners of the black arts. Toward the written works promoting the works of witchcraft or sorcery, we need a duplication of what was done in Ephesus, I should say. The Bible says in Acts 19:19, "And not a few of them that practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the price of them, and found 50,000 pieces of silver." The next verse is likewise significant. "So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed." Ladies and gentlemen, witchcraft or sorcery is absolutely opposed to God's word and to the will of God. Let me tell you something. The concluding chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, John supplies us with the ultimate destiny of those who practice witchcraft or sorcery. Listen to what the Word of God says. Are you listening? "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers or witchcraft and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Without are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and every one that loveth and maketh a lie." Revelation 21:8 and 22:15. Be not deceived, ladies and gentlemen, by witchcraft or sorcery.